What's up, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of It's Brewing at McEwen. I am your host for this evening, Adam Cartwright, and joining me is my co-host, Matthew Giardino. Matt, man, how are you doing today?
Doing great, doing great. Glad to see that the Bulls had a strong weekend and looking forward to talking about it.
Absolutely. It was a great weekend. The Bulls win 2 out of 3 for, 2 for 2 in terms of series. Played 2 series, got 2 series win. What are your general thoughts on the weekend as you watched it?
I was really proud of the way that, I think the one thing that Coach Hannes really wanted to do was see how his team would fight with a lead and, how they would fight from coming from behind. And I think we got to see that a lot this weekend. Obviously, with the first 2 games, the Bulls built up a pretty comfortable lead early on in the games. And then Sunday, obviously, that was a back and forth, but at one point we were down significantly and came back pretty strong in that game. So, really excited that we had this opportunity this past weekend to really see what our team was made out of.
Absolutely. I think once again, like you talked about, especially on Sunday, you got to see the grit that we talked about with the first weekend. I think what really stuck out to me is, when we were talking about this kind of amongst ourselves, we had kind of labeled Georgia Southern as a team with a very strong lineup, particularly at the top of their lineup. Their top three hitters were hitting really well coming into the weekend. But, they might be a little vulnerable on the mound, but I thought our pitchers did a really, really good job. Just kind of limiting that offense, as a whole on the weekend, to a point that we actually won the series. Over the first 2 games, their offense was really stifled on Friday and Saturday. They had, really one good inning where they put up a crooked letter in terms of runs. So I thought that was really good to see. But as we move forward, we'll look at the Friday night game. 9-1 victory for the Bulls. Corey Braun picks up his first win of the season in his second start. Corey Kling with the save. Matt, I'll kick it to you. What were your first thoughts on Friday night as we were watching it? Friday
Yeah,
afternoon, sorry.
I think a really interesting thing is to see developing is that we have a really strong 1-2 punch going on Friday with Corey Braun. He followed up his great start against Iowa with an even better start at Georgia Southern, especially not easy to do on the road on a Friday night game. I believe he went 5 innings and got 6 strikeouts, only gave up 1 earned run. Overall, it was just a tremendous outing by him. He displayed some really great control out there, as well as just overall composure. Really excited to see the rest of the season unfold for him. And just to correct myself, he actually pitched 6 innings and struck out 7 batters. Really solid work by him. And overall, just the fact that we had 9 strikeouts, only 3 walks. If you do that, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to end up winning a college baseball game. So I think that was a really strong sign kicking off the weekend series.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought we had a very good day on the mound. Like you said, Corey Braun with another strong start. He really shows the signs of a real Friday night guy. And what I mean by that is showed an absolute bulldog mentality in the first inning. First 2 guys get on. Good line drive, really good bunt single, just kind of happens in baseball. But he gets out of that inning without a run, and that's really what you need out of a Friday night guy, somebody that's just going to bear down and do what needs to get done to get you to the next game. And Corey Kling, he comes in with a 3-inning save, a 9-out save, 1 walk, only 2 strikeouts. But again, he just gets outs. I really love what he's done for us in his role. He's really pitched in a lot of big spots for us, but one thing you kind of look at as he moves forward is if he gets extended, he got 3 innings here, he gets 4 innings here, there might be some opportunities for him in our rotation as it goes forward. So just something to keep an eye on either way, however you look at it. Corey Kling really did pretty well. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, he works both sides of the plate very well. He has really great control. Just overall, the total pitch mix that he has is really effective. And we're seeing that. And we're seeing even Coach trust him in multiple outings in any given weekend. But I actually want to go back to Corey Braun, who, after giving up those 2 base runners in the first innings, He ended up striking out five batters in a row. So he struck out the side in the first inning and then continued on to carry that streak into the second inning and got to five strikeouts in a row, which really was incredible.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, moving on and looking at the hitters, look, they had a day. 11 hits, 8 RBIs, again, 9 runs out of that. So again, we're knocking in a lot of our production. Got to point out Carter Murphy, 4 for 5, 3 RBIs on the day. So he kind of stands out on a day with that. Actually had a lot of offense. Jackson Mayo, Lance Triple, also had multi-hit days. Brad Keylory had a multi-hit day. Brad Keylory, he flashed some absolute gold glove style defense this weekend. So he's been really fun to watch at shortstop. Matt, what are your thoughts on the weekend as far as hitting for Friday?
I think overall it was a really strong performance. 11 hits. We had three different guys that had multi RBI games as well. Carter Murphy just exploded, 4 for 5, like you mentioned. And then also another great sign too is we saw Brad Keylory starting to hit, and that carried on into the rest of the weekend. He was an absolute menace at the plate. But overall, really happy with the performance. Obviously, 9 runs in a game is nothing to sneeze at. But that was just kind of a continued trend that we saw for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, and I just want to go back. I mentioned Lance Triple had a multi-hit game in this one. He also had the dagger in the ninth with an absolute tank shot, which again that kind of put the game away. I thought in terms of just kind of killed the host for Georgia Southern on that Friday night. Absolute bomb, great swing, really, really, really good for him.
First home run of his Bulls career as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any final thoughts for Friday night before Friday afternoon
Yeah,
before we move
I
on?
think a little bit on Friday night, but just kind of the rest of the weekend too. Lance Triple, you do not want to run on that guy. He was an absolute beast back there throwing out runners. I'm not exactly sure how many he threw out in the Friday night game, but I believe in the weekend he threw out like 4 or 5 guys. Pretty much anyone that tried to run on him.
Absolutely. And he's very athletic, moves his feet very well, puts himself in a great position to throw, which is why his throws are typically beating the runner. I just got to give some love, as a former middle infielder to his middle infielders, Matt Rose and Brad Keylory, when he has to be there. But I think Matt Rose kind of stood out on Sunday, which we're skipping ahead just a little, but it's kind of relevant, right? He doesn't necessarily have to throw the ball on a dart, in a certain spot to get a guy out. Those guys are able to make plays for him to make the catch and make the tag. And I know sometimes people don't really think about it, but some of those plays to get to the bag, especially as a second baseman, having to get in front of the runner. Kind of as the runner is coming in, so you kind of have to get in front of him, catch the ball, make the tag. It can be tough. And again, I think he has a really good duo that's able to do that for him. But absolute cannon, like you said, you do not want to run. The Bulls are controlling the base paths very well early on in this season, and that's been fantastic. Any final thoughts?
Let's move on to Saturday.
All right, Saturday. This is when we took the series and had an absolute offensive explosion. Took the game in the second and never looked back. Jack Nigro is going to end up getting the win on this one, as they did kind of mount a little bit of a comeback. But again, we saw that grit from this Bulls lineup come back with a huge 8th and 9th inning. I guess we'll start with the pitching, Matt. What did you think about our Saturday guys?
I was really impressed with James Hill. He doesn't necessarily have overpowering stuff, but I think in terms of how he's developing as our Saturday pitcher, I think this was a great step forward for him. He did go 4.2 innings, ran into a little bit of trouble in terms of allowing some base runners in that fifth inning. He was only at 68 pitches. You would imagine that at some point, you like to see him at 80, 85 and higher. But I think that, in terms of progression, I think he's, doing really well. The one thing I was really good, glad to see was Jack Nedrow. We'll talk about him a little bit more later as well. He had a great outing, as did Aiden Longoria. Aiden Longoria has proven to, be an absolute force for this team, going out multiple times in any given weekend. But, going two innings, one hit, one walk, three strikeouts, didn't allow a single run. If you can get a guy that, he's only a sophomore and he's throwing two inning saves, that's a huge addition for our team to have someone that we could trust in the back end like that.
Absolutely. Look, what Nedro and Longoria did for us is they put us in a position to win because, like I said, they mounted a little bit of a comeback there and actually took the lead back. And what Longoria and Nedro did, Nedro was basically shut the game down for the final 10 outs, shut them out. They didn't score any runs after that point, only one walk, four strikeouts between them. But, they gave the Bulls that ability, the lineup to get back in the game, and they did that, and that's what you need. And like you said about Longoria, his ability to not only be a three out, or a one inning guy, but a multiple inning guy, and then on top of that, multiple innings, and possibly even coming in multiple games. I think we saw in that first series he went one inning on a Friday night and then two innings on a Saturday night, and so that's huge. Especially when you can be as effective as he's been for us. Again, I talked about the role that Corey Kling has kind of carved out for us. I think Longoria is another guy that's kind of done that, and we're going to need them. And it's been really good to see them really kind of blossom here in year two for both of them. Any final thoughts on the pitching?
Yeah, I think another thing about Aiden Longoria too is just his overall physicality. You could tell him and Corey Kling have just grown physically so much in just one year's time. You see a guy like Aiden out there, and he looks like a mule, like in a positive way. He looks like an absolute horse out there, and excited to see him get a lot of innings and a lot of meaningful innings for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Well, looking at the lineup, like I talked about, man, it was an explosion on Saturday. Bulls end up with 13 hits, 13 runs, 11 RBIs. Once again, we're knocking in most of these runs. GSU was a little wild on this one. They gave up eight free passes that we took advantage of. Only struck out four times. I think what I pointed out in my little reaction video, what was it, six hits, six of our nine hitters were multi-hits. And I think three multi-RBIs. Sebastian Greco with the big bat, he goes two for three, three RBIs, one walk, and two runs on top of that. So that's five of our 13 runs, kind of credited to him in one way or another. I thought Matt Rose had a couple of really big at-bats in this one as well. What were your thoughts on Saturday?
Yeah, just going along with what you're saying, offensive explosion. You point out the great game by Sebastian Greco. Matt Rose, he started to really swing the bat very well this weekend. And then another guy that, might start getting a little overshadowed by a lot of these other guys coming on is Ryan Pruitt. He continues to completely mash the ball. He's a very consistent bat in our lineup. And overall, in terms of the hitting performance, the thing that I love the most out of everything on this box score is the fact that we had eight walks and only four strikeouts. Anytime that you can have that level of patience at the plate, you're going to put up a lot of runs because you're just passing on the baton to the next guy and you're pushing runs across the board. And I'm really proud of the team for this particular performance, but this whole weekend was really incredible to watch.
Yeah, just kind of piggybacking on what you were saying about Ryan Pruitt, two doubles in this one. So I think that was, yeah, two for four, and both of them were doubles. So really hitting for the gaps and power. Rafael Betancourt added a double. Greco adds a double, as we mentioned, with his big day. Stole some bases in this one as well. I didn't realize it, but looking at the box score here, Brodil, triple, Mayo, and Pruitt all with a stolen base in this one. So just overall, just really fun to watch in terms of offense. And really, I mean, it was a fun game to watch if you were a Bulls fan from the start. I think even when we went down, I just think with what this team has showed us so far, I don't know that I personally didn't feel like we were out, but I personally felt like I was just waiting for us to break out like we did, there in the eighth. Any final thoughts on Saturday?
No other thoughts on that. It'd be interesting to see how the base or not the the caught stealings, were there any caught stealings from our guy Triple on Saturday?
I do not see where that is listed in the simple box score. But you know what? We'll get a social media post out on that. We're gonna highlight our guy because he has been pretty well. We'll get his percentage out for the whole season. I think he's actually been really well in that terms of that. Like I said, throughout the whole season, we'll definitely get that highlighted and get that number out there because I think you're right. That was fun to see. Man, so now we're gonna move on to Sunday. Listen, we let it get away early. There's no way to really go around that. Fell down 4-0, but again, that word grit keeps coming back, determination, resolve, however you want to put it. But this team's got it, and they got it in droves because they bring it back in the sixth, and then eventually, I believe, tie it up in the eighth to send it into the extras. Where there were some shenanigans, and we'll save all of that for the very end of this one. So let's start with the pitching. Jorge DeCardenas gets his second start. Absolute drove of Bulls pitchers had to come back into this one. What were your thoughts overall?
Yeah, I think I think in terms of a pitching standpoint, it didn't necessarily turn out as great as we would want it to. A little bit of a rough outing for DeCardenas. He only went 2.1 innings, 3 earned runs. He did do a good job in terms of his control. Only gave up one walk, but the four hits are going to come back and hurt you, and they did, unfortunately, with giving up 3 earned runs. And then, coming off of that, Matt Brown, he struggled a little bit, giving up 2 earned runs. But after that, our pitching was pretty much locked down. Nolan Bernard, I think he's a guy that we spoke about very highly in our last podcast as well. He had a great outing. He really settled things down for the Bulls, allowed for us to get back into the game. Only gave up 2 hits, no earned runs, no walks, and he had a strikeout in 2.1 innings. His stuff looked very lively out there. And something that we actually learned on the telecast was that he was an early enrollee at USF. So, he should actually be, in theory, pitching his senior year of high school baseball right now. But instead, he's coming into a very important situation for our Bulls. But aside from that, we saw some good performances from Brandon Keister. And then I think the guy that really stands out for me on this game was Jack Nedrow again. He comes back for his second outing of the weekend, pitches 3.1 innings, doesn't give up an earned run, and it also just completely locks down the later half of those innings for us. And I think if he was able to go a little bit further in that game, I think we do actually secure the win. Just because he was cruising. But you look at 14 pitches on Friday and then 58 pitches on Sunday, you're looking at a total of 72 pitches, which for a reliever, we've obviously made him a reliever, but that is a lot of pitches, and I think it was the right call to bring in someone else.
I said it in kind of the intro to the pitching. We had a drove of pitchers. I think that's something that a lot of teams can maybe expect for a Sunday, especially on a Sunday that you have already won the series. Not saying that we didn't go for it. Again, I've got some thoughts on that, and you'll hear it later. But I think you can expect to see a lot of pitchers. Like you said, not the best outing from DeCardenas, but there's something there. I don't know if he's going to be the Sunday starter the whole season. I'm really not sure what's going to happen with our rotation. If I'm completely honest, I think there's a lot of opportunity, and I think there's a lot of talent to fill that opportunity. And I just think I definitely think we're going to see a couple of guys step up. I don't know who that's going to be, but I think we'll see that. Big weekend from Jack Nedrow. Just again, comes in Saturday, comes back, and actually, pulls multiple innings. So again, I talked about it with Longoria. Same thing here. That's such an ability to be able to pitch one day and then, get back up and pitch the next day. And it's something we'll use. 58 pitches. So I mean, there's a little length in him. You might could start thinking about him as a starter as we move forward. But again, I want to say we did enough to win. That's what I want to say, and that is what I'm going to say. I think at the end of the day, we did enough to win, but it didn't work out. Any final thoughts on the pitching?
The only thing that only other thing I want to mention is that we actually only gave up 5 earned runs, even though Georgia Southern scored 9 runs. Only 5 of those were earned. So that kind of just goes back to the fact that our pitching is really solid, especially so far this year. I think that as we continue into the future, into our even our Tuesday game that we'll be talking about a little bit later, I think that there's a lot of progress that we'll be seeing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really didn't want what I was saying to come out as negative as I think it sounded. It's not, I think that there is a lot of talent in this staff, and I think there's enough talent to go really, really far. I just don't know if all the pieces are in their final configuration right now. But definitely, definitely a lot of talent. Looking at the hitting, fell behind early, came back, did what we had to do. Lori with a 3-for-6 day. He's kind of the star again. Oh, Matt Rowe, sorry, just don't mean to leave you out, bud. 3-for-5. Brodil and Sebastian both add multi-hit days. Greco has 3 walks to go along with it, 2 RBIs. Matt Rose, another great day with 3 RBIs. We talked about it in the first podcast after looking at week one, that he was making a lot of hard contact, and he was things were going to break through. I think Lance Triple was the same way. He's another one. And I think in the Sunday, he went 0 for 4, but I think he had some hard contact. And sometimes, that just doesn't work out. But sometimes, or most times, you're going to get hot if you just keep hitting the ball hard. And I think that's what we're seeing out of Matt Rose. What did you think for the weekend, or sorry, for Sunday?
Yeah, I think really the guy that was a star was the guy that also went 2 for 3 the day before, the Sebastian Greco. He was on base 5 out of 6 times total. To go along with his 2 base hits, he also drew 3 walks, which obviously that's a big part of pushing runs across. And a guy too, I think that's gonna start hitting really well in the near future is gonna be Jackson Mayo. He did go 0 for 3, but he was seeing the ball really well, also drawing 3 walks. So overall, the consistency and the patience that we're seeing from our lineup is really great to see, especially early on in the season. I think that's really significant.
Yeah, and there's something I do want to point out with Pruitt and Mayo, and what something that actually makes Greco's day even better is, the guy that faced on Sunday was making his debut. He was the third-rated left-handed pitcher out of the state of Georgia. He was a true freshman, big kid, big old 6'6", lanky guy, could run it up to 94. We talked about maybe can't locate it at 94. Kind of found a groove there at the low 90s. Wasn't exactly in the zone. Kind of, effectively wild. The point I'm getting at is, if you were a left-handed hitter, it was a very uncomfortable at bat. He was not fun to hit against, I can promise you, if you were a lefty. So he was tough, and Pruitt battled him. Mayo battled him. Greco found success. And that was just something that, again, I just want to point it out for those guys. I mean, they really battled in on Sunday. But I guess that kind of leads us into the elephant in the room. So if you weren't watching, the bases were loaded, and Matt, I'm going to need your help. I believe there was one out, or was there already two?
I think Nedrow actually recorded the first out.
Yeah, so we had one out, bases loaded. The Georgia Southern staff decided they had a better shot with their kid bunting than swinging, so he lays down a bunt. Half the reason you do this sometimes is for shenanigans, and that's exactly what happened. We only get one camera angle. The umpire gets what I believe is an overhead view. He was 4 feet from it. Not sure how you miss it, but somehow he decides that Triple does not touch home plate, calls the guy safe, ties the game. Again, Coach Hanna's appeals, then appeals, how do I say it more vehemently, ends up being ejected. Just not the way you would like a situation like that to go. Matt, what were your thoughts as you were watching it?
I mean, my first reaction was obviously that he was out by a mile. But I think one thing that is, a positive out of all this is we get to see, how much fire that Coach Hannes has in him and, how much he has his guys back. Anytime you have a coach that's that passionate, one loss, yeah, it sucks at that time, but, knowing that you have that guy behind you, I think it is more positive for our players than even just getting the win on Sunday. It was seeing their coach go out there and have their back and really stick his neck out there for them. I think that, there's going to be missed calls in every game. But like you said, the umpire probably has some really great views, but I guess at the end of the day, he didn't see enough to overturn it. But I think our guys are going to take that and they're going to really, really make FIU pay for it on Tuesday.
So what I think happened was I think the home plate umpire let the moment of the game get to him, and he just thought he needed it. It was a big spot. It was a big call, and he missed it. He just missed it, and it, at that point, umpires can go two ways. You can dig in your heels or you can not. And what I think happened was once this went to review, the only camera angle we had was kind of low and from the side. And so, again, us looking at it, it's look, man, that's he's definitely out. He's like, you can see where the plate is, you can see where his foot is. Do we have an angle that can be overhead to definitively tell, well, yes, he is? No. And so you go, and so again, it's how bad you want to dig your heels on this, because you had an out, and they had an out by saying, well, it's inconclusive. He missed the call. And that's the end of the day. To your point though, Matt, I agree. I'll even go so far as to say, I'm kind of glad this happened. And the reason I'm glad is because it happened in a series that we had already won, right? So it wasn't like this was going to take away a series from us. It couldn't do that. Okay. But also, it gave Coach Hannes the ability to send two messages. And both of these messages are to the guys behind him. The first one, I think, is that just because this is a Sunday game, that in a series we've already won non-conference, it matters. It matters that much. It matters so much that we're going to go out, and this is unacceptable, right? This game is important. It's the most important thing today. And I think that mentality is going to carry over and do well for us. Second message, I think it allowed Coach Hannes to send the message of, hey, I can tell you that I got your back, but I'm going to show you now. And I think he showed them, hey, I got your back when it hits the fan. No one's going to mess with my guys. No one's going to shaft my guys, right? You're at least going to hear about it. And so I think that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, right? Listening at home, Matt, I was in my living room, and I don't have anywhere near the athletic or talent to get on anywhere near that baseball field. But I was ready to go put on some cleats and pull a Roger Dorn and lean into one for the Bulls that day. Just it had me ready to go through a brick wall. I know it had the kids ready to go through a brick wall. And I think, like you said, I think we're going to unleash on it. But I don't think it's just going to be FIU. I think there's a little chance we make a little run here with a chance to have a little special run with these next four games.
Yeah, no,
Final, yeah.
I completely agree with you. And also, just the way that Coach had our players back, it kind of just sets a standard too for, how the rest of the team needs to have each other's back. And I think it was just an overall positive thing, or rather something that was negative that, I feel strongly that our team's going to turn into a positive for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. I think it's going to pay dividends. I really do. And I don't think this Sunday loss in the grand scheme of this season is going to hurt us as bad as, as maybe some other ones could. But I am really, it was really something good to see out of coach again. I was fired up. The boys were.
And the thing is too is this whole series, I think one thing that we don't really talk about is the fact that we did all this on the road as well to a very, very formidable opponent. They were top 50 in the RPI last year. They were off to a pretty strong start this season as well. It shows a lot of grit for our guys who many of them have, never even played on a road game before. A lot of our younger guys and, a lot of our other players are JUCO guys that probably didn't have to face 1700, 1900 road fans. So for the fact that they got this experience as their first, true road experience, I think is really, really awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to actually put this out on socials, and I might still, but I got a question of, when was the last time the Bulls won two games outside the state of Florida in the month of February?
I feel like you might have to go back a far way for that.
Right?
Apparently, it was the first time that we won back-to-back series to start a season since 2017. That we do know. That's a really great start, obviously, to the Machanas era.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at some archives because I cannot remember the last time we played a game outside of the state of Florida in the month of February. And if we did, it was maybe in a tournament. So again, I don't know how that goes, but just like you said, props to the kids. And props to whoever scheduled this. I think it worked out because it kind of does give you that. We're gonna have to go play some cold weather games in our conference. We're gonna have to travel. And so you do kind of get lulled into a, state of Florida. It's always sunny and not so cold. But they went and they played a game in the 40s this weekend. They had to move it up from the nighttime because it was like, guys, we can't play baseball at this. And it's below zero, or I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But I know it was going to be cold. But again, they battled that, and I thought they battled it well. Like I said, we came out with the season, or I'm sorry, the series win. One thing I do want to ask you. We mentioned the rotation. I didn't know if all the pieces were where they were. When it comes to the batting order, though, I do feel like this lineup that we saw this weekend is probably what Coach Hannes is going to want to roll with and maybe get some chemistry building. Again, they might move up and down, but I feel like they're going to kind of be together again, praying for health. What do you think about this lineup that we saw?
Think if it's not broke, don't try to fix it. Obviously, this is prove this particular lineup has proven to be very successful. Scoring 30 runs over the course of three games, we had well over 30 hits as well. I think the thing that about this lineup that I think is really great is it really allows number 1 through 9 to contribute in a meaningful way, and we saw that all throughout the weekend as well. If the middle of the order wasn't doing well, the bottom of the order was doing well. If the bottom of the order wasn't doing well, we saw the top of the order doing really well. So I think there's a really good mix of different skills that we have in our lineup currently. We have a good mix of power, speed, contact ability. So I think what we see now, I think we're going to veer very little from, we might see a spot start here and there, and giving a certain guys a break, but overall, I fully expect this to be our winning formula going forward.
Yeah, so do I. I really like kind of the versatility within it. I think you look at it, and there's probably two or three leadoff guys. When you look at Lori Pruitt, Rose Brodill could probably fill that role as well. Just kind of gives coach the ability to kind of play the hot hand. And I think there's multiple power slot guys. On Sunday we saw a triple in Bettencourt. I think Murphy and Greco could definitely fill that 3 and 4 spot. We've seen Mayo hit in the power slots before. Again, I think it was a 10 home runs his freshman year. So we know that he can hit the ball pretty hard in terms of power. So again, it gives coach the ability to kind of play the hot hand within the lineup, not necessarily moving guys out, but guy gets into a little slump sometimes, hitting in a different spot, whether that's up or down, can make all the difference. And I think you're right. I think this is going to be a pretty good winning formula for us. What do you think?
Yeah, I think one last thought I had was just looking over this last box score. Obviously, Carter Murphy's bat came alive this weekend, but Another thing I want to point out is his glove as well. For a big guy, he moves so well at third. He made some amazing diving stops. His fielding, I think, is really underrated. Something I was really glad to see.
Yeah, I think he's I think he's finding his own. I don't know how much field time he got last year. I know I know he was limited in playing in general. So I think he's definitely finding himself in the field, especially at third base. And he did make a few good plays this weekend. Look, the defense has been really good. Up the middle. Again, with Greco's played a really good first base. We talked about our athletic catcher, and so I'm not saying that it's easy to get overshadowed, but it kind of is easy to get overshadowed when Brad Guillory's making web gems every weekend, and Matt Rose is being acrobatic, and Lance Triple's throwing out everything that runs. But you are right, Carter Murphy has definitely shown some leather as well. Well, I guess we will move on to our midweek matchup. You are listening, depending on when you are listening, this will be either today or tomorrow as we record on a Monday night. But on Tuesday, February 25th, the USF Bulls will take on the FIU Panthers at the Red, right? I believe. Yeah. And Matt, what do you think about this one? A couple of Bulls, former Bulls, right?
Really interesting. We get to take on FIU, who has Nelson Rivera on their roster. He was a really big piece of our 2021 Super Regional team. Had some really timely hits for us during our run. So excited to see him come back to the Red. If you do see him, make sure you say what's up to him. And then also we have former USF Bulls pitching coach Carsten Whitson coming back to the Red as well. We hope that they enjoy their time back in Tampa, but not too much because the USF Bulls do have a ball game to win. But going into this game, I'm really excited about the pitching. We'll get to see Bryce Archie again. He had a great first time out last weekend against a very tough Florida State opponent. But that's pretty much what I got. What's your thoughts, Adam?
Florida National, they're coming in pretty hot overall, 7-1. But again, looking at their schedule, they was it 4 wins over Stonehill, Bethune-Cookman, and then they went 2 of 3 on Delaware. A lot of the Delaware, a couple of Delaware games were close. They lost the close one. Couple of the Stonehill games were close. Only a couple of games they're really holding runners. I mean, they gave up 14 runs to Stonehill. Was it 4 or 5? And again, 7 runs again to Delaware on Sunday. So I think there's some vulnerability on the mound that we could take advantage of, especially if we stay as hot as we were this past weekend. I am very, very interested to see Archie take the mound again. I think we talked with Coach Hannes, and kind of the vibe is this weekend thing is kind of to see us through spring practices, and then once we get through that, we see him kind of see where he fits in. I don't know if he's going to be our weekend starter. I'm sorry, our midweek starter throughout the whole season, especially if he improves on. He had a really good performance, against Florida State. So if he improves on that and continues to improve, I don't think we're going to be able to hold him back and just say, oh, you're a midweek guy because you're a football player. I think we're going to have to find a weekend spot for him. And so I'm just kind of really interested to see him take that next step. I thought he did really well throwing strikes the first time. I want to see him kind of stay in the zone and kind of see what happens. I think it's a very winnable game for us. I think it's a game we need to win. Even though it's a midweek, and a lot of times people will say those don't really matter as much. I think this one kind of matters for us. I think we need to win this one, get on a good streak as we head into the weekend and take on that school to the east. And really get on a good winning streak here. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, FIU's off to a pretty hot start. So it's definitely not going to be an easy game. We are benefited by the fact that we do get to play this at the Red. So make sure you do come out and support our Bulls this Tuesday. I know we have a big weekend ahead, which John and Mark will be covering a little bit later this week. But do not overlook this matchup against FIU. I think it's going to be a very fun and competitive game. So I'll see you guys at the Red.
Absolutely, guys. As he said, if you can make it out to the Reds, support them. You should. It's a great stadium to watch a baseball game in. I would say it's the best in Tampa. But that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. If you aren't able to make it out to the Red, you definitely need to have your TV set to ESPN Plus at 6 p.m. For the Bulls as they take on first pitch. Well, Matt, I think that leads us here to the end. Do you have any final thoughts you want to go to Bulls fans on?
I mean, there's going to be a lot of good baseball to watch, not only tomorrow, well, which would be Tuesday, but obviously this weekend, huge matchup as well. Really looking for the Bulls to build up the momentum that they have been, especially this past weekend, and continue to play well. We'll see how our Bulls do.
Absolutely, Bulls fans. Like you said, make it out to the Red if you can tomorrow. Be on the lookout for Brewing at McEwen podcast as Mark and John will bring you your preview as we take on UCF next weekend. Really, really looking for a big weekend there.
That
Until then,
was tough for you. That was tough for you to get out, Adam.
I know. It chokes me up every time. It tastes so bad. again, thanks for listening, Bulls fans. We'll catch you later. Go Bulls.